Keep the same energy, the same energy, 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 keep the same energy, the same energy. Keep all that bullshit away from me. I'll fall away.
This is Jerome Smith, also known as JS, aka The Best, and welcome back to my favorite day of the week, Sync Music Mondays. And I gotta introduce my man, my brother, my co-host, the man of the hour, the man, the myth, the legend, Kyle Hunter, also known as K Sparks. What's good, man?
Jay, what's up, bro? What's going on, man? Everything's healthy, man. We alive and blessed, bro. What's the word, man? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. No complaints, man. Living good, no complaints. How's everything with you?
Yo, everything's healthy, man. We here. It's a beautiful day, man. Well, not necessarily a beautiful day in the literal sense because it's rainy, but it's all good, man. You know, it's like that Carl Thomas summer rain. You know what I mean? That type of time outside, but it's all good, man. We here. We here.
I love it, man. Yo, I need some knowledge. I need some gems. What's today's word of the day? People need to know, and I need to know.
Yo, y'all know what it is, man. Every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, man, Sync Music Mondays, we dropping gems, financial literacy for your music, the latest and greatest successful entrepreneurs in the music industry, but also the word of the day is what we always start with. So y'all going to see it up on the screen. And today's word of the day is some people are investments and some people are bills. Choose wisely. I'll say it again. Some people are investments and some people are bills. Choose wisely. A lot of times, like, we have relationships with people, whether that be intimate relationships, whether that be friendships, whether that be business relationships. But sometimes you find people that take more than they give, right? And the key word that you always want to remember is reciprocity, right? Someone that's willing to give and not just take. So you always want to make sure that as you pour into people, they pour back into you. Because if you're constantly in a state where you're giving, whether that be emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, whatever it is, and if you're not getting in return, eventually your cup's going to be empty, right? And then those types of people, they're never the type to pour back into you. They just leave you dry and they go off to someone else until they leave them empty as well. So always make sure that you have viable, working, tangible relationships that are mutually beneficial, and that is the word of the day.
Man, you can't pour from an empty glass. And, I mean, we getting money, but, you know, we want to keep them bills low. So, yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying, man.
Facts. That's big energy, bro. Big energy. Keep the same energy. You know what I mean?
Same energy. And right now, my energy is on 100 right now because today is a special day. We got a special guest in the building. You know, every episode is special, but today is extra, extra, extra special. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today has not only produced for, you know, himself, but he produced for Drake, Big Sean, Rick Ross, The Boss, Pusha T. Might have heard him do some of the music on Blackish. I know y'all heard Blackish. Ladies and gentlemen, I could keep going on and on, but he don't have that type of time. We ain't got the type of time. Ladies and gentlemen, the young legend, the man, Hilton Wright II. What's good, man?
Man, what's going on, guys? Happy
man,
to be here.
Doing? Yes, we appreciate you, man. How you feeling today?
Oh, man. I'm great. Great, you know. Can't complain. Just had a great holiday with the fam and, you know, ready to get back to it and close out the year strong. So, all is well.
That's what I like to hear.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dope, Hilton. I mean, so, you know, we pretty much, I mean, we gave like an introduction for you, Hilton, but for the people who might not necessarily be familiar with you, you know, can you just kind of tell them in your own words, who is Hilton Wright II?
Wow. So, so many different angles to that. Hilton Wright II is, you know, my father's son, you know, also a father to Hilton Wright III, you know, but, I'm a record producer, a songwriter, a composer, and an artist myself. You know, that's kind of like a new one that I am getting used to saying. And also, you know, I'm an artist in the sense of, you know, how Quincy Jones, DJ Khaled, Mark Ronson, a producer artist, not a vocalist, but I'm definitely out here, creating pieces of work, and presenting them in the way I best see fit. So that is an artist. So yeah, but honestly, I think that the way that I'm starting to just kind of like wrap it up and introduce myself to people is like I'm a music creator. That's it. Like wherever music is or needs to be, I can help facilitate it, whether it's me doing it myself or calling in the people that kind of like best fit. So yeah, I'm a music creator. That's who I am.
I love it. Now, talk about how did you get started in music? Like, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Like, how did you get started?
So I've just always been into music all my life, from like Michael Jackson, growing up in the late 80s, early 90s was like prime MJ era. So the Bad era for Mike really was, I was just fortunate to like live through like that time. And so it all kind of started with MJ for me. And that made me want to be an artist. And in second grade, I had dreams of like being like the next Usher or something like that, and would write and sing my songs on my karaoke machine that my mom had got me. And I was always in the choir. And then in fourth grade, I started playing alto saxophone in the band at school, and I played that up until I graduated from high school. And in high school, I started rapping. My cousin and I, we were rapping and, producing our own music, releasing it on our label that we had started. We had a production duo and company called Right Tracks. At the time, we weren't really much of a production duo because we were just, making beats and rapping on them and putting them out, just very, Master P, Rockefeller. We saw ourselves in those empires that we looked up to. And then I went down to Morehouse for school after graduating high school, and for college. And that's when the artistry, in terms of like rapping and being a vocalist, kind of took a back seat, and my focus really shifted towards producing and writing for others. And so this production duo of ours really evolved. And yeah, I just hit the streets hard in Atlanta and was there for 7 years, and that was really like the start of my career, in the music industry, because I was in a place where I could really not only have a dream, but like put in the work to make it become reality. So but surprisingly, like, our big breaks came from back home in Detroit, where my cousin, he was there. And we had produced a lot of early music for Big Sean at the time. He was an artist that we met through a mutual friend, and the music that we did kind of like ended up helping springboard his career. But yeah, so but Atlanta still played like a big part in just like how certain dots were being connected. So that's like a broad overview of how I got started. And yeah.
I love it. I love it. Now, who would you say are your favorite five musical influences?
Well, I mentioned, Michael Jackson. So,
Gotcha.
again, Mike, J Dilla, being from Detroit, and I kind of like call myself like a young Padawan to the whole Slum Village crew, because I know those guys. And then I would say Quincy Jones, obviously. So that's three. It's always hard. We talk about like top five lists, because I'm going to forget someone. Jay-Z is probably, one of my biggest influences, just like overall. We talk about music business, but also, in music, yeah, so Hove is just my North Star in a lot of things. And then I'm trying to think for who else music influence. Man, I'm blanking. It's gonna come to me because that last spot is just so coveted. I hate top five lists so much. It's just like, damn. So, yeah, I'm a randomly hit you with a name like later on in the interview.
Nah, you good. The four that you got, very solid.
Yeah.
Now, how would you define your style? Like, it could be you as a musician slash producer, composer, artist, or just you as a person. Like, how would you define your style?
Well, versatility. That's what I like to go with. I'm from the Midwest, and I was telling my wife the other day, like, we naturally kind of like are we like everything, because for a while, we never really had like we're stuck in the middle, so
Literally,
we love
yeah.
stuff from the South. All our grandparents come from the South. So we can understand that. That feels like home because, it is for, all black folks in America. But the stuff from the East Coast made sense. We're further east. I don't know why they call it Midwest, because should call it Mid East. Like, if you're really looking at a map. But we love that. Everybody in Detroit like loves Pac, And so, like, West Coast, like when I was in middle school, it was heavy Pac era. So, we really just got a mix of everything. Being like in the middle, like the Midwest, just kind of like soaked up things from everywhere. So that, along with just like how I was raised, I kind of like came up in the suburbs outside Detroit, but we were always in the city. My grandma stayed right off 8 Mile, and spent half the week over there, and I really had like this great balance of these different like worlds, from kids I was going to school with, and like their whole just mainstream pop, just kind of like traditional, I guess what you're used to seeing. I guess mainstream is probably like the best way to put it. But then, I also went to an all black church, and was steeped in traditional black church music. And yeah, so I've just really had a great mix of a little bit of everything. And so that comes out in the music I create, in the music I like. I say you are what you eat, and I consume like all different types of music. So yeah.
Nice, I love it. Can you talk about how you got into the world of sync?
Yeah, so I got into the world of sync through advertising. Advertising, still to this day, is probably like been the most sync stuff that I've done. Or maybe, yeah, it definitely was like where I got my start. So I had an internship after my first year at Morehouse, at an advertising agency called Global Hue, and they were the premier multicultural agency. So, which, in short means they target African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, really anything outside of general. So general is white, and multicultural is what, we're now calling diverse, right? And so it was owned by a black guy, and it was one of the most amazing things I had ever seen, because like it was like a proper, just like, corporation. And it was a black dude that ran it, and this is pre-Obama. So I always tell people, like, I had never seen white people that worked for a black guy. Like, so here I am at this internship, and I learn about the world of advertising. I'm not even in like any type of music role at all. I was like organizing tapes from campaigns in the 90s, VHS and cassette tapes with different like spots on them for like Domino's and Kmart and stuff. But I got to know the people in the creative department, and it was so ill, like most creative departments at agencies are just like, grown playgrounds, like with the bean bags, or they have the dry erase markers that you can write on the floor to ceiling windows. And it was just like this whole, I had never experienced or seen anything like that before. Mind you, I'd never been inside like, a record label, or even seen like those types of offices. And this spot was literally like down the street from my house. And so it kind of blew my mind that like this creative space was literally in my backyard all these years. And all I'm thinking is, you know, Detroit, you know, is at the time it wasn't anything going on musically. This is like way, this is way before even like Big Sean. Obviously, we had M, and that was huge. But like, you know, I always thought you had to go like outside of, you know, the state to get those types of opportunities. But, you know, this was right across the street from the library I went to all the time. Didn't even know. So anyway, I stayed in touch with those people after the internship ended. And yeah, they I ended up landing a Jeep, a national radio spot. My cousin and I, you know, we did that. And the owner of the company who I was telling you about, you know, he kind of like took a liking to me. You know, would kind of like give me game here and there. I remember like when my internship was over, he would tell me like, you know, each time you come home, make sure you stay in that, go to the creative department, make sure they keep some money in your pocket. You know, he just kept it real. Like, and yeah, so eventually I did that. And then did a Walmart national TV spot. And actually the first thing I did for them was music for a Melissa Ford video that they showed at a party for Corona. Like, so a lot of times we think of like sync for, you know, broadcast stuff, but like they need it for even small usages to where like they were introducing her as a host at a party, had a video montage, and there was a piece of music that they needed for that. And it was only shown at that party. But you know, it was a small fee, you know, something I think it was like maybe a few hundred bucks. But still, like that was, you know, that was like my very first sync. So that's how I got into it. And then those people today now work at other agencies. And so it really expanded like my footprint in terms of like the reach I have and the connections I have. And so, yeah, I've just always kind of like kept in contact and, you know, just continue to build and build and nourish my network.
Nice. Let's talk about that. When it comes to getting placements now, do you find that you get majority of them, like you kind of said, off of the network that you have, the relationships? Is it sometimes through sync agents, music libraries? Like, what is the process for you now since you have way more experience?
Yeah, so now, you know, it's still like the same, and I've come to learn that that isn't the case for a lot of people. You know, most folks are working with intermediaries like a library or an agent. And you know, I just knew what I knew in terms of building those relationships, networking, and so everything that I have synced has been with me communicating directly with either the music supervisor or the like the producer at the advertising agency. So I'm definitely, you know, looking to expand my reach by partnering with a library, an agent, you know, even a publisher, possibly. So yeah, but everything I've done, and you know, people are always surprised to hear that. I'm like, I didn't know any better. I thought, you know, that's, you know, what you do. You know, just like with anything in life. So yeah, it's kind of like been all me direct. And then I've, you know, grown into how I understand the business. And obviously a lot of music supervisors and companies, you know, like they don't like working with individuals directly because they don't understand the business, you know. But, you know, I'm coming with, you know, music that's pre-cleared and, you know, everything is all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. You know, I am. Essentially, I am like a mini library myself, you know, and so that and I move like that, and so that way, you know, I put everyone at ease, and you know, they like to work with me.
You know, it's interesting, Hilton. Because you brought up a lot of good points, and me and Jay spoke about this on some of the other episodes that we had. The difference between individuals who actually pitch to music supervisors directly themselves, as opposed to people that use a sync agent. So, I guess for the listeners out there, because a lot of musicians listening to our show, and that's one of the questions that they do ask, like, in our professional opinion, do we think it's better to go through a sync agent or to try to pitch to music supervisors directly, obviously there's a difference in the level of monetization, right? Like if you're cutting out that middleman of a sync agent and you're going directly yourself, then it's pretty much like product straight to consumer. Like you're going to get all of that money yourself. If you do have a sync agent, obviously they're going to take a cut. So in terms of your experience, can you kind of talk about like the pros and the cons of your approach, like that, you know, you see the benefits to some, but then maybe the cons, like, can you talk about that?
I think the probably most important thing is it all depends on the individual. You have to be honest and open with yourself to know like what type of person you are, because going direct is not for everybody. You mess around and, you know, mess up an opportunity because you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, because you have to be somewhat of a people person, you know, to know people, to really, you know how to massage just like kind of like different situations and whatnot. So I think that you at some big libraries, agencies, I think the fear for a lot of people, even myself, is that you could get lost in the process if they have like a lot of composers or a lot of, you know, different people that they work with. And so I think that really just you have to know your why with everything in life. So know like what's my why, what's my goal, and then sit down and say, okay, this is what I want to do. Then this is probably going to be the best route for me. And let me find, you know, a partner that does X, Y, and Z, or let me move about it this way. So, yeah, because that's one thing, like I am just kind of like this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like I love being in the lab, creating the music, and just like be the complete like process of music creation. But I also love like the business, the mechanics of it. And, you know, I could easily do like, you know, an executive thing, but that's not everybody. So, and I'm often jealous of like people that can just like, they're like, man, I'm not trying to be sending emails and do that. Just get me in the studio. Like, because they mess around. Because if you know what you're doing, you can just sit there and make your money all day if you're connected with the right partners. So sometimes, you know, you have to do what you have to do to get that first thing off. So that first thing off might just be you lucked up with the music supervisor, got something, you know, in a show, and then you were able to leverage that into a deal with a library, with the agent. And so it's always hard because everyone's situation is different. There's no like one straight path. And then sometimes, you know, you can't get with, I mean, I guess the good thing is with TV and film, it's a lot easier to get a deal with a library or an agent if you haven't had anything before than it would be to get like a deal with a record label, because what the library is concerned with is, are you able to deliver the material? They don't really care about like the whole like, oh, you did this for that and so, because all of this music is usually just living in the background. Or, you know, it just has to connect with the listener. But, you know, the other side, you know, of the music business on the record side, it could be funny. So hopefully that answers your question. I think it boils down to the type of person that you are. And if you see yourself, because like I said, I have to move like a library in the way that I, you know, do stuff when it's direct.
You definitely answered the question, and I think that that's a valid point, because, you know, the reality is that everybody's not a boss, right? Some people are workers, and that's okay. Everybody's not built to have that type of fortitude where they can actually negotiate deals, where they can talk with music supervisors. Some people don't even know how to structure an email properly. Like, I've gotten emails where people are like, you know, hey, Kevin. And I'm like, that's not my name. My name is Kyle. Like, you know what I'm saying? So people copy and pasting emails and not changing the names. They don't know how to talk to people. So, yeah, for certain people, it depends on what your fortitude is. Like, if you're that type of person, you might be just talented musically, but you need someone like a sync agent to handle that. So, yeah, everything is situational, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Sure, yeah, that's a good point. Like, you can end up playing yourself, you know? So I do think just with everything – you have to be honest with yourself. These are conversations with yourself and no one else. You know, and have that conversation with yourself. And maybe it's somewhere that you might want to grow to. But you have to realize right now, this is what's best. And honestly, here's the thing, because I don't know if going direct, you know, is the best thing. It's all that I know, because a great library is also going to partner with a library of its stature or similar in every territory around the world. And you can't even fathom the amounts of opportunities that are in TV and film until you really realize how many different countries there are, with all of the different content delivery partners there are in all of those places. There's so much music that's needed. Like, I'm sure you all probably know of composers that sync music primarily outside of the States. It shows you've never heard of and probably will never see that make a good living. And you won't have access to those opportunities just yourself. So that's why even me, myself, with all these relationships I have with supervisors and ad agencies, I'm definitely looking to partner with, you know, someone that has tentacles spread all over the globe. That doesn't mean that I stop nourishing the relationships I have. It just adds to it to where, you know, I can go back to my partner and say, hey, you know, I worked with, this is someone I know, you know, how can you help bring this home? So, you know, if it's more bread that's coming in, don't be scared to split it, because they always say, you know, it's better to have 100% of a grape than, or 100%, better to have 100% of a grape than 10% of a watermelon, or the other way around, better have 10% of a watermelon than 100% of a grape.
Yeah. Now that's fact. You know, it's crazy. Like, we just did an episode about collaboration is greater than competition. So knowing the value of being able to collaborate with like-minded people, understanding how those relationships can actually increase your visibility. So, you know, a lot of times I think, like, sometimes artists might get linked up with a sync library and they'll be with that one. And maybe for the year, they might get them like 5 placements or 7 placements. But it's like, nah, like you're doing yourself a disservice, because like you said, a lot of these sync licensing libraries, they have a lot of artists. So, you know, if you're a rapper, if you're a singer, but they already have like 40 or 50 other rappers and singers, even though you're a part of that sync library, you're essentially in competition with the other people on that label. So it's like, all right, how do you distinguish yourself? And if you're in a situation like that and it's non-exclusive, you definitely should be positioning your music with other companies that are able to leverage your music as well. That way you have more collaborations on the business front working in your favor, you know?
Never be scared. I like to collaborate with the people that are also there as well, you know, because sometimes, like, let's say you're a singer, but they need something that's like sing and rap. You know, go on that website, look at the roster, ask your rep, like, hey, can you introduce me to some of the other people you're working with? Because more than likely, those people are plugged into other libraries. Usually people are, you know, on these non-exclusive basis in terms of like who they can work with. Maybe they have exclusive tracks with a certain library. But yeah, collaboration is the only way. I'm going to say, you know, you have these rare instances with like Diane Warren or people that are like 100% self-contained. But even that, you know, I like to say Diane Warren does collaborate, because it takes an artist to sing a song. So, you know, everyone is collaborating in some way, shape, or form. Be best friends with collaboration.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. Now, can you talk about how lucrative the world of sync is? Because a lot of times artists and producers, they don't really know or understand. They think that, in order for them to like really make money, they gotta either produce for, a big artist or things of that nature. But I mean, like you were saying earlier, there's so many people out here that make a living from, producing and composing sync music. So just talk about, how lucrative it can be.
Yeah, so I think that as quiet as kept, it's actually the other way around, to where if you want to make a living, a very good living, doing music for TV and film is actually like how you do that. And if you want to struggle a bit more in the process, you might look to making music for a major label artist. Now, don't get me wrong, you have these rare instances where you have like a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 with a smash record that everybody is singing around the world. But that's so rare. And it's more likely that you can have a hit that is a song that's in a show that is being, dubbed in 30 languages all over the world, but your song is still in the background. So you're still getting those performance royalties all over the world, and everybody's seeing it. They might not know the song. Hell, they might not even be able to hear the song, because I had a few placements this year. You couldn't even hear the songs that got placed in the episode. They were in the background. I didn't even see it the first time. I had to go back. I texted my collaborator. I was like, "Man, I just watched it. I didn't hear it." And I was like, "That's weird. They just sent me all the info. Like, I just signed off on the license." I was like, "Oh, let me go back. Let me put on these headphones." I put on the headphones, went back, turned it all the way up. I'm like, "I'll be damned. It's in the back, soft as ever." Right now, that was cool, but then it also was like, "Damn, okay. I'm missing my Shazam opportunity." But what I'm saying is, like, that show, because remember, this is all content that people are doing. You get to ride along for the big deal. So the big deal is whoever owns that show, now they're going to try and go to a cable network in Istanbul, a cable network in France. And they're like, "Hey, we need new content." Hey, they're doing a deal for this. And what travels with that? The cue sheet that gets paid out, or reported to that society, which is then reported back to the US. So yeah, I think that, now don't get me wrong, I still write and produce for a major label artist, and that is now finally, it's because I like to do it. I still have dreams of, writing a song that a stadium full of people are gonna sing back to you. Like, there's nothing like more powerful than that, or seeing like your song like change somebody's life. But a collaborator friend of mine was saying, you got to think about this like investing. You put some here and you put some there. And so, and a lot of that was the reason why I got 715 off the ground, which is my company, because I'm doing kind of like a little bit of everything. I'm collaborating with dope artists, making records that we just think are dope. But on the administrative, on the rights management side, everything is easy clear. No one is, signed. Most people are independent. Some are signed to publishing companies, but even with that, the publishing companies have it to where it's easy clear. It's ready to go, and so it makes it available for licensing. But yet these are still songs that we can work in a traditional manner. So, I really encourage everybody to do that, So yeah, but I think you have to do a little bit of both. And naturally, if you're a producer, as we know in the traditional composer producer sense, making beats, whatnot, you have stuff laying around that people aren't using. You just got to figure out the correct formatting for how to best use it in, TV and film, and then find some partners, make some money off that hard drive. Don't let it collect dust.
That's a fact, man. Major key, major key. And you know, I like that too because yeah, it's like what's old to you is new to someone else. And you know, that's what I had to realize too. Like I got records that I did like over 10 years ago that's still getting synced to this day. So, you know, don't get caught up in the trap. Like, you know, sometimes you got to get out of your own way and stop being your own toughest critic, you know?
And that's the thing, like a lot of times it'll be that old stuff that ends up getting synced. Like you said, things that you're not even thinking about, you forgot about, not even like the hot new thing that just came off the, out the oven. And yeah, so that's the thing I love the most about sync is the fact that you can generate revenue from just like assets that you weren't thinking about to help fund the stuff that you are thinking about.
Facts. Facts.
Yeah. Now, what would you say so far has been like your biggest opportunity? I mean, I know you still, it's a long way to go and you still have, bigger and better dreams, but so far, what do you feel like has been like the biggest opportunity that you've had thus far?
The biggest opportunity I've had thus far is either between, working with Big Sean early on, I would say because he was unsigned when we met him, and we kind of like helped craft and curate his sound and helped springboard his career and get his movement going. Like to work with an artist in the extreme infancy stages, to help them and shape that and produce that music, and it led to one thing to the next and see where they are now. Like to me, just because that's just as good as like having like a huge hit with an artist. And then the second thing would be the working on Blackish, the Juneteenth episode. That was dope because it was for the culture, and it was a part of a major cultural shift. In the years following Juneteenth became a major, a federal holiday. And I think when you do things like that within popular culture, it helps move national conversations. And it was just a small piece of something that helped move national conversation because that episode put it on a lot of people's radar. Blackish is on a mainstream network. So more than likely, in order for it to stay on the air, it's more than just Black folks that are watching it. There's a lot of people that are like, I've never heard of Juneteenth because of that. And even with that episode that had Apple add Juneteenth to the Apple calendar, Tim Cook was quoted as saying, that episode of Blackish had them go and add Juneteenth to that Apple calendar on, most people's phones. So those two things, have been like major things. I also just last week or week before last was a part of a very small part in Machine Gun Kelly's album, got nominated for Best Rock Album, and he ended up covering a Mike Posner song that my cousin and I produced years ago, going back to what we were saying about like it's stuff from years past that like can still do things. That was my very first major artist placement. We did a song called Drug Dealer Girl, and Machine Gun Kelly interpolated that, made a new song called Drug Dealer, and so I have a credit on there. And that album just got nominated for Best Rock Album at the Grammys. So that's big because being part of a Grammy nominated album isn't something that happens every
It's the
day.
full
So
circle moment for you.
yeah. So I guess those are like three things. I know you said just one, but it's hard to pick.
Yeah, no, those were three very good ones. So nope, that was good. Now,
Cool, cool.
if you could have a conversation with the younger you, like what would you talk to him about? Whether that would be advice, just a simple conversation, like what would that be?
I would say to him, don't quit piano lessons. I would also say to it's weird because like a lot of things that I would say have really been like lessons I've learned from mistakes that I made, but I needed to make. So, I wouldn't want to mess anything up because like if he avoids that mistake, then he wouldn't get, some things you don't appreciate until you go through them. Obviously, parents will tell you like, oh, I told you, like, don't do this. But well, you have to do that to feel it yourself. Like, okay, yep, not doing that again, or I'm gonna navigate this different. But yeah, I definitely would have quit piano. I play well enough now to like write a song and stuff, but it's like it's something that I've always kind of like wanted to be better at, just even outside of music making, just like having fun with music, like just being that dude at the party that can go sit down and just play every song to have everybody sing along. I think like that's a cool thing to have in your bag of tricks. So I would say that, but also I would say do better in school. Like if I was to be honest, like I know what we do, you don't have to, but like I ended up having to spend a lot of money going to school. But if I would have done better in school, I could have had like, scholarships that paid for that. And you wouldn't get caught in like that student loan predicament. So I would say that, because also I have realized where like foreign language, like if I would have done better and taken Spanish more seriously, that even helps like in my professional career, as I've had success in the Latin space and how that's just emerging now. Imagine being like that one, producer, songwriter that is bilingual, that like, oh yeah, I can contribute as well on the lyric side. Like that right there is huge. And so, but I didn't see it there. It was just like another class in high school. You got to take Spanish 1, 2, and and in college. But like, yeah, I would definitely take that a lot more seriously, especially like as we see it today. So, I know those are like kind of cliche, but like it's always those cliche things that you sit back and be like, damn, like that's actually like real. So yeah.
That's dope, man. Another question for you, Hilton. So we're big on mantras. Like, that's our culture here, Sync Music Mondays. So like mine's is persistence wears down resistance. Jay's is we don't make moves, we make movements, and the mantra here is we are music licensing in the coolest form. So what is your mantra, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this before, but if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready. And that's like the realest statement to me. Opportunity waits on no one, but it's ready for the prepared. And if you're ready when it comes around, like don't miss your opportunity. And people always say like success or like when or luck is when success and meets opportunity, or the preparation and opportunity meet. But yeah, I say like just stay ready. And whatever that looks like, specifically in music licensing, it would be just always stay learning. Listening to a podcast like this, tuning in, just getting all the notes from people that are doing what you're doing, reading all the books, going to all the kind of like seminars and continuing to tweak things in your journey that align with that advice you've gotten, so you're continually being get better. I like to say be intentional with your growth. Like whenever I've gotten like really intentional about, I want to do this better, or I need this to do better, how do I get there? And I look to someone that's kind of doing it, and I like reverse engineer it. That has always yielded me the best results. Because if you do anything for a while, for a long time, you'll get better just naturally. But if you get intentional about it, you out of here. You skyrocket, So, yeah.
Yeah, and yo, that's fire what you said too, because when you were like listening to podcasts like this and things like that, that's true. Like we're living in a digital age where, when people look at your phone, that's a computer in your hands. You know what I'm saying? So, and we have access. Like I think years ago, it was harder. Like I remember when AOL first came, and I'm in the crib, and my mom's just trying to make a phone call. She's like, "Hang up the phone, boy," you know, because you're hearing the dial tone, right? So now it's not like that. It's like, you know, you've got so much media within the palm of your hand. So I think, you know, it would really be extremely beneficial for people to have balance. Like I always say, like, you know, with social media, listen, man, we all got different things that we like, you know what I'm saying? Whether that's positive stuff or that's just off the wall stuff, but you need to strike a healthy balance to make sure, at least on a weekly basis, you're tapping into something that makes you better. You know, like, I mean, you got so much knowledge at your fingertips. Like, you don't got to go to school anymore to get this stuff. Like, you know, if you want to learn about music licensing, it's here. If you want to learn about music supervision, it's there. So just educate yourself and make yourself better, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, I love YouTube University. You know, like I've gotten a master's and a doctorate from there. And I would, you know, people always like to know, like, you know, where do you go? Like, what's like this exact step? And I heard somebody say the other day, I was watching some video where they were giving advice and they're saying, you know, just start like somewhere because it'll lead you to like the first learning resource you have might not be like the best, but you might meet someone, get one nugget of information, or see a link from somebody in the comment section that takes you to like a better resource, and you learn about that. That leads you to like some conference where you meet one of the panelists. Like, I know oftentimes I'm guilty of like, well, I want to know like what the best, you know, like book is, or like who's the expert like in this. But you can spend like so much time just like looking for that and not utilizing what it is that you do have. So, yeah, I would just say start somewhere and start as soon as you can.
Gems, man. That's gems. The jewelry store, it's gems.
The jury stuff for sure.
That's what's up. So, yo, this was fire, Hilton. So, you know, I guess at the end of the day, man, I know you spoke about your company. So, I guess for all the people out there that want to tap in with you, you know, I just want to keep up with you, what's going on. Like, shout it out, you know, run it up, bro. Let them know where they can contact you and all the good stuff.
For sure. Well, yeah, you can go to 715music.com, and that's the word seven spelled out, and then the numbers 15 music. So SEVEN 15 music.com. And from there, you can connect with us on social media, all the platforms, our links are there. And same with me, HiltonWright.com. That's Hilton spelled like the hotel, and then Wright with a W. So HiltonWright. WRIGHT.com. You can connect with me on social media. All my links are there as well. So yeah, that's 715. Like I said before, connecting with dope artists that I love making music with them, and then putting it out for the world to hear and listen to, and it having it find its way in media all over. I won't even say just film and TV. Because radio commercials, maybe, you know, video games. When you're in that position of, you know, ownership or being able to control the work that you can create, the possibilities are endless and it's up to you. So, you know, what I'm doing with 715, I really just encourage all of my collaborator friends, you know, to just, you know, do the same, you know, have some assets that you can take and you can run it up with.
Fire.
I love it, man. Great conversation, man. We appreciate you
Man,
once again for
appreciate
taking out the time, dropping the knowledge, dropping them gems. And like you said, man, make
it.
sure y'all connect with the man. Hit him.
Yes,
Collaboration is
sir.
greater than competition.
That's it. Thank you all for
Yeah.
having me.
Now, we appreciate you. And on that note, we out. Until next week.